One of our neighbors went up to the local archive to find out if there was something written about this area and dancing trees and so on. And he found out that in Snesere, which is a small town 6 kilometers from here, there is mentioned a dancing tree, and it is mentioned that it was functioning until 1912. It's very funny because in 2012 we started up with this tree. So we feel that we just take and bring the tradition into circulation again.
Dancing Trees, a podcast about the festival Music Over Præstø Fjord. This podcast features conversations with Anne-Grete Camilles and Søren Korshøj, the founders of this festival, as well as selected participants from this year's festival. One of the most notable stages at the festival is the stage called the Dancing Tree. But what is a dancing tree, and what does it mean to those I've spoken to? That's what this podcast is about. Thanks for listening. It's a very warm and sunny day in August. I have the pleasure of being part of this year's festival, and I have brought recording equipment to be able to record participants at this year's festival, as well as dancers and surroundings on the festival. Particularly, I have been recorded at the stage, the Dancing Tree, to absorb the real sound of that stage. These sounds are some of the sounds you will hear in this podcast, as well as music featured that tells a story about trees or the stage Dancing Tree. I have also visited Anne-Grete and Søren on a more chill November day, and even though it was quite cold outside, there was this really warm and welcome atmosphere when I entered their home to have a conversation about dancing trees and the festival with them.
Åh, der var et.
Ja,
der
er et trin. Yeah.
Hej.
Hej.
Ja, velkommen. Så lykkedes det. Det var godt.
Velkommen hen.
I am Anne-Grete Camilles, and I live here at this property where we have the festival, and we love to use our garden for dancing trees and festivals and other kind of events. I am the chairman of the board in our Musikår Præstø Fjord. I always call myself a circus director because it is really a circus where everybody can come and have a opinion and have a idea, and that's only so good if other people's ideas get also to be something here. So yeah, that's me.
My name is Søren Korshøj, and I'm a musician and a songwriter, composer, and in relation to the festival, I'm married with Anne-Grete, and I'm building and constructing the dance floors and the stages for the festival. There's no standard setups here, so.
We started this festival in 2009, and at that time we were borrowing a park down by the Præstø Fjord, and it was such a beautiful place, and they had a big tree in the middle. That was amazing. We just had to make something about that.
And then I came in my mind that one time in a history book, I read about dancing trees, that some place here in this area of Denmark, southern Zealand, there was a town called Borup, where they for centuries, year 700, had a dancing place with the tree in the middle, which is not existing anymore because the tree fall down. And then I thought, wow, we need to make it a dance tree. And then Greta immediately said, then we need to do like in Sweden to have a dance platform. So we turned up to be kind of combination of two, of a Danish tradition and a Swedish tradition.
Yeah, that's Nordic.
Yeah,
Nordic, to dance outside. It doesn't matter about the weather. Oh, I think many countries does it. But it's such a good feeling to be under the stars in the night and just dance. And when we moved our festival to our own ground here, our own garden, then we had to make a new platform and a tree in the middle.
It has to be leveled out, of course, and have to be very, very stable. And then with the climate in Denmark, it's always a challenge with woodwork outside. So it was a lot of work. If you take all the material in it, it's more than half a kilometer of wood. Just to make the deck, it's like 3,500 screws, and they all have to be covered afterwards. And so it's a huge job to do the platform, but it's there all year round, and the stage is covered with a little tent like.
So and people can come here all year round, and people come and make different kind of events, you can call it, but it's small things, you know. Sometimes a little amateur band has come and played from the stage, and some dancers has danced, maybe just 4 or 6 couples, but it has been so cozy and they like that. Then of course we use it for we are making different events when it's the first, not the 1st of May, but in May we make a celebration of now it is starting with all this summer, spring, and we like that. And we have the local school and the kindergarten down here and dancing. And also here at Christmas we always celebrate that now the light is coming back, and then we have a celebration where we can use the dancing tree, and that's so nice.
And it's actually very well connected to the root of the tradition of dancing under trees, because that's going back to pagan time, where the tree was the sacred. And actually one time during the festival, there was a guy running a Facebook page called Music from Scotland, who was here taking videos when people were dancing under the tree. And this video has been seen like 3 or 4 million times. And the way people commented was very nice, because they could see how inclusive this atmosphere is when you're under the tree, and when you dance you're just becoming a circle of life, and in night you're enclosed in a circle of light there. So we're very satisfied about.
Yeah, and it does something to people to be in the nature.
Yeah.
When they dance and are together, the community which is built up is so strong. And I'm sure that it's because there is some energy in the air when you're outside that makes people very loving. And, you know, everybody helps with everything. It's not us who has to do all the arrangement, even if it's our garden. Everybody helps. That's so nice. And also last year we were so happy that Søren Stensby in Fjerin, a band in Denmark, he told us he had made a melody for the dance tree here. And he had been at the festival the year before, and he had been so excited that it was such a beautiful place to see people being happy, dancing around. So he had to write a tune when he came home. He has done it, and he also came with his band and played it together with other people. He taught the melody, and it was really exciting that people are getting so happy about a dancing tree. And I think it's the roots which comes up to us and makes us stronger together.
it's the stage with no amplification. It's always all acoustic. It's very, that way, very intimate place. When you play the music as a musician, and also when you dance, and you have to be listening. In old times, back in history, the story was that the fiddlers or the musicians would sit on the branches up in the tree, playing for the people dancing underneath. And then, if they were playing good, the people underneath could take a stick and put a beer on and hand it up to the people. But our tree is still not big enough for sitting on the branches.
No,
it takes time to grow.
I don't think they sit so comfortable. But I think this about having a dancing tree here in the south of Zealand, it has been very common. We can see in on a wall in Vordingborg, which is a town 20 kilometers south of here, there is a big dancing tree where you can see people enjoy themselves dancing around it. And I found also in a small shop with used things, I found a little blanket where somebody had made sewings and made a dancing tree with people dancing around. It was old. That's how it has been here, I think. And it has been so important for people in the countryside to have a tree, to have a place where they could come and meet and maybe meet the person they would become family together with, and to have a place which is outside. You are outside, and at the same time you can be free there. It's not the church or the school, or no, it's a place where you come voluntarily and you like to be there. Very often there have been such trees around where Tingstedet, I don't know in English, it's a place where in old times the men, of course, 12 men often, came and sat down from the neighborhood and decided what to do around here. And then they had this tree very close by, and they could end up with a party afterwards.
This dancing tree they had in Boop got abandoned, you know, like 300 years ago, the church and came and said we had to destruct the platform and cut down the tree. But then the tree started to grow again. And then after some years, they got allowed to remake the platform. It's been used probably also for the rituals for the young people, like you say, meeting each other for a place for gathering people.
Yeah, in Claus de Lange's story, he tells about how maybe the tree was there before the small town developed, because there has always been something about this sacred tree, and then if there's water close by, maybe the tree was the beginning.
People are making yoga in the morning on the dancing platform under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And meditation sometimes, just, you know.
Yeah, there's been a lot of circus things, you know, yeah. Juggling and everything. But also, there is a couple who, they didn't actually got married here, but they made their party here. So they used the dancing tree for dancing and for music and during their wedding party. Mm. That was very nice. And also, you know, during the festival, the kids, when there's no music and dance, they are up there immediately. Maybe they have a small bike they can run. We have some small bikes. And maybe they have a ball they want to put in the ground. You know, it's wood, so it's nice to play ball on it. And they have a small car, you know, to make around. And it's always in use. And people are coming here during the year and also using it.
My name is Adam McKenzie, and I am a musician, and I'm also a nature guide here in Denmark. The music is what brings people together here, but it's the human connection, it's the meeting between, which makes this festival what it is, and it's this spirit that Anne-Grethe and Søren have somehow, they haven't created it, but they have provided the means for it to happen. They have found the place where people can meet, and then it's the people that come with their instruments and with their children and with their music from different countries that make the spirit of this festival. So, what do I think about dancing trees and what kind of associations do I get from those words? I immediately think of tall old oak trees with small slender roots, even though they should be very deep, those roots, but I kind of feel like they have these slightly careful steps. They're maybe a little bit curious or a little bit not used to dancing, and they're kind of making some small careful steps to the music, and I like the idea of dancing trees because if you've ever laid down on the ground in a forest and looked up at the sky, you can see the trees are kind of swaying from side to side in the breeze, and it gives you a sense of belonging and a sense of quiet, which is very calming. Back in the day, we used to have a sense of identity that was connected very much to the landscape that we were in. Culture and language was in some ways totally connected to the landscape and the trees and the mountains and the rivers, and this is something that we've lost to some degree, or to a large degree. I think that old trees have had a special place in our culture, and these have been places of pilgrimage. So we seek out trees because they have some kind of maybe a healing effect, and maybe they have some kind of knowledge or some power that they can transfer over to ourselves. And just looking at some of the old oak trees in Denmark, we don't know exactly how old they are, but some of them might be 1500 to 2000 years old, and that means they have essentially witnessed our history for thousands of years, and have seen kingdoms come and go. So trees have a special place, and I think many people, even without knowing it, feel a sense of shame if an old tree is cut down. It takes 10 minutes to cut down a tree, but so many hundreds of years for it to grow. And I know that my grandmother had a birch tree that she would visit and hug and place a hand on and greet like an old friend. And maybe some of us don't do exactly that, but if you've ever tried to hold around the trunk of a tree, you'll find a sense of calm and ease. Yes, so we can place a stage anywhere, really. But when we place it in a special place in nature, then it gets an added meaning. And here at Musikår og Præstøfjord, there is Dansetræet, the dancing tree, which is a stage which is encircles a tree, and people dance around this tree, perhaps like we dance around the maypole. And somehow it is an integral part of this festival. I can think of some other examples. I know in the Telemark region of Norway we have the Dansasteinen, which is a flat rock up in the mountains where people used to gather in 100 years ago and dance and sing and meet each other and talk and be merry, and that's pretty much what we do here at Dansetræet. So I think it becomes a focus point. You could build a scene in the middle of a field, and that would be fine. But to have the tree as the focus point gives it something extra special.
in my childhood, in our garden, we had a big red beech. It was so huge that when we four children were taking our arms and putting them around and trying to reach each other, we could exactly reach each other's hands. Of course, we were small children, but anyway, it was really big. We could only climb it if we went up from the branches, which were hanging down for 10 meters out, and climb up. And when you came up there, and you were sitting close to the trunk, you were so much in another world. That feeling about being together, being connected with a tree, has always followed me. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that I feel so much joy by having a dancing tree in our garden at our festival right now.
I grew up in Silkeborg in the middle of Jutland, where there's quite a bit of forest. So I always had a good connection to trees. I love trees. But especially when you find these solitary big trees, like big trunk and a big cover, who are old, and we always felt like sitting, having a break under that tree or doing something, you know, being there. But just the fact of being sheltered under a huge tree and this feeling, I'm not a tree hugger, but this feeling that we went to Amazonas, saw some enormously huge trees, and this, wow, this tree has been standing here for 1,000 years. Old oak trees, you know,
it can be
1,000, or some of the trees we saw in Amazonas, they were so huge, like you. They've been there for decades and ages.
Yes.
And this fact of feeling connected back in time is just a very special feeling. And it's the same feeling when we use a dancing tree to dance under the tree, to play the folk music, to sing the old songs, and to create new songs. But it's always has this line back.
And yeah, it's really...
I have this dream when I get really old to sit under a huge tree out there, because it's getting bigger, you know, because when we planted it 12 years ago, we bought it 6 meter high and got it planted because we knew we wanted it to be a big tree. And it's starting to get big now
to
make that cover of all the dance floor.
I'm sure that the roots of a tree, they connect with other trees and other things and everything and us. And it's not a coincidence that our music is called root music, because we really have the roots in common with the trees. Just when I talk about it, I feel energy inside myself. And that's the same that trees does to me when I'm close to them. Yeah, I love dancing trees because I also love to dance.
We actually have the dancing tree in a kind of miniature in just about all families in Denmark for Christmas. In many countries where they also bring a tree in, they just look at it. But in Denmark, we dance around it. And for me, that has always been just dancing around the Christmas tree and singing is the same kind of this gathering feeling. When I've been abroad for Christmas, I never understood why there's this tree in there, but it's just, they don't dance around it, you know. It's very special for Denmark. So we all know just a little bit of the feeling of the dancing tree.
The fascination that musicians has when they play out there for dancers, and also when they join the chain dance themselves while they're singing, it's obvious that they also get a special kind of energy because it's there. It's close to a tree. It's outside and in the nature. That means a lot to the music.
Yes, and it would be nice if we could get both more dancing trees and more dancing platforms around outside in Denmark.
Were.
And I think it's spreading around the thing of dancing outside, being using the public space for dancing and for joy.
We have been here for 18 years, and we can see they have been contacting us from other parts of Denmark to ask, how do we build a dancing platform? And like we have done, making dance outside. And we can see it has come many places. So we believe that this is...
It's here to stay.
To stay, it's called. Yes, that's right.
My name is Miriam. Miriam Ariana is my artistic name. I am a musician. I play violin, I sing, and I also play percussion, some percussion instruments. I've been playing here at Musica og Pressefjord with my bands, but I'm also always coming back and enjoying just as a participant. So I'm part of the Nordic folk music and folk dance community. We're sitting here in a little wagon, and I don't know if you can hear in the background, there are some violins playing, there's also bass, and those are people, participants at the festival Musik over Præstøfjord that are jamming. And there are many, many small jams around, tables, under tents, around trees, in small corners where people meet and they jam, they exchange music. So that is one part of Musik over Præstøfjord. And the other part is all the concerts. And also workshops. So it's a festival where people meet with a shared passion for music and dance, and also a shared passion of being together. For some people it would be many days. Dance, play, listen to music, talk, drink a beer, stay up late night, and sleep, and then wake up again and do the same thing. So when I think of dancing trees, I think of something circular, because the tree is in the middle and is somehow the center for the circle or the dance floor. I think like the tree itself has this round shape with the branches, the leaves, the crown, which makes a whole like round shape, and also a shadow over the people dancing. In the European dance culture, folk dance culture, you would dance like round in a circle. Also what you do in the ballroom tradition. Some other cultures have a tradition where you dance on the spot, but it fits very well for our dance tradition where you dance around, round and round. So while you spin around yourself, you also spin around the dance tree, if there's a tree in the middle. So it creates, I think, a sense of shared attention to the middle. It gives such a nice atmosphere to have nature close to where you dance. So sometimes when you go to a party or a ball, it would be in a square room where you have walls and then a ceiling, and then you would not, you wouldn't have the fresh air, you wouldn't have this organic forms. So I think it's quite special to have a dance tree. Gathering around a tree, I imagine that in the old days, when you wouldn't have necessarily houses or tents, or I guess that a tree could be a kind of safe space where you can be protected from rain, from wind, also from the sun, or from snow. So it could be a place, a bit like a home, a house. If you look, for example, at a forest, you can feel protected, I think, in the forest, because you could be surrounded by trees. Of course, things can hide behind trees as well, but I imagine like a tree, a bit like a home for people. And today we have homes, we have houses, we have a lot of construction. But personally, I think like when I sit under a tree, or if I play under a tree or dance around a tree, there's also this feeling of home or being protected. It's a bit like a pillar that stands no matter what happens. And you can also climb in the tree. You can use it a bit like a safe spot. And a bit like bonfire can gather people, then I also think a tree can gather people, like this feeling of big branches protecting a group of people. So even though we might not use it the same way today, I guess we feel safe when we are near to a tree. Here at the festival Musik og Præstøfjord, there is a stage called Dansetræet, which is the dancing tree. And it's a stage, and in front of that stage there is a tree, and around that tree there is a dance floor, a wooden dance floor that goes all around the tree. And as the name says, it's the dancing tree, which I think is very well made, of course, for dance. It wouldn't be very necessarily very good for sitting and just having a sitting concert where you just, or standing concert where you just look at the stage. So it somehow encourages people to actually dance because the wooden floor is round and there's the circle around the tree. So I think the whole design of the stage, if you can say so, not just people to dance and not just stand and watch. So I think this is like a good invention for actually activating people to move their legs around.
Well, I'm Kirsten Arup. I'm 65 years old. And I played the fiddle. I've stopped working, so I should have plenty of time. But I'm almost full-time employed at the community where I live. So, and I have my husband at home who's not well. So I always need to be at home most of the time. But apart from that, I can come here 1 weekend a year. And to other gatherings, of course, as well. But Musik og Præstøfjord is definitely very important. We are in a very beautiful spot in Denmark, which overlooks the fjord. It's actually other parts of Denmark that are renowned for their fjords, but this is a spot in eastern Denmark where we have a fjord. And we overlook the fjord from here if you stretch your neck a bit. And it's a private garden, really, private grounds with lots of little nooks and corners where you can hide, or not hide exactly, but where you can jam with whoever you find to play with. So there are so many nooks and crannies here, which all are filled with people who get together, 2, 3, 10 people, to play or sing or just to have a nice time. And there are little booths where you can buy things, and there are tents where you can hang out, and there are, of course, concerts and talks. But it's just mainly the feeling of a large private party, because everyone is so friendly, and it's an amazing atmosphere. It's somewhere that I go to actually play music, because since I moved here 7.5 years ago, I haven't found people to play with on a regular basis, which is my fault surely, but I come here then to actually get my fiddle out and play with people and meet old friends. So it's, I feel so happy and fulfilled when I'm here. And also just hearing this music that I love. The fact that you can play with people that you don't even know beforehand is fantastic. I love that aspect of folk music. So I really, that is really, in my calendar, it's the first weekend that I cross out to make sure that I'm here. So we're talking about the dance tree, which I connect with the lime tree, for some reason. It is a lime tree, but there are also old Danish songs about the lime tree in my father's yard, in my father's farm. So that's, it reminds me of the center of something. So it's gathering around, so it's the gathering around what you have in common. That's what it reminds me of. So, yeah. And I love to see people dancing around it because it's circular. It's not like a square dance floor. So people, and there is this little, the there is a border of cast iron figures of dancing men and women. And it's beautiful. And it just sums up this whole place, because it's playful and it's, it conveys the idea of being together around dancing and music and well, everything that goes on here. I think one thing that I really like is the fact that the handicapped people from the from the nearby institution Mayetta come here and dance, and I know that they're used to dancing and they love the music, and I just love to see them mix with everyone else, and I love the inclusion, and it also conveys this togetherness, conveys this sense of sharing dance and music. So I think that's what I really like, and I like the fact that people who can really dance and people who can't for whatever reasons, they share being together there.
Whatever country the musicians come from, when they go up on the platform and dance and play music for people there. Next year there will come somebody from Ukraine, and other years there have been from Scotland and Canada, and of course from all the Nordic countries they have played at this platform. And it's the same things which is happening, that there is some magic going on when it's happening around a dancing tree. From the first start with this festival, we had values as our guidance. What kind of values did we want to have as the atmosphere on this festival? And they are directing us all the time. Still, if we want something to happen, we are thinking in, okay, is this doing something so we are gathering together? Is this doing something so people feel love in their heart? Is this doing something so people feel connected, all generations? All that kind of questions we ask ourselves. Also, when we put bands on the stages, we want it to be, you can call it experiments for thoughts and also the body. On each stage, you know, for the public who comes here. So there's a lot of things we do which nobody knows about. It's
very deliberate.
Important for us also that we have, you know, the lights on the festival, all this illumination up in the trees and around.
It's dim light.
Yeah, it's so important. It makes people feel good. And that's the feeling that we want people to feel. And we really know we have succeeded because there are so many people here, and they all feel as soon as they come into the festival that they relax and get into such a nice feeling. We are very open for people also who has got many psychological problems, and often we have guests, they might even be psychotic, but we do everything we can to give them a good feeling here. And you know, 2 years ago there was a person. He left on Saturday afternoon. He had been here since Friday morning. And he said to us, "I can't have more love. I never had so much love in my life. I have to leave." Yeah. And he had had such a good time. Yeah. You know, we had taken care that he got a place to sleep here and that he could be in a little bit for himself. And that's for me, you know, wow. We can reach out to people who are having such kind of experiences very seldom in their life.
It comes a lot from deliberate planning of everything.
Yeah.
Down in very small details, like the way you plan all the small spaces in the garden. You know, I don't dare to go out and cut a tree in our garden or something before asking Anne-Grete, because
there's a plan.
There's a plan. There's beautiful views. But if you feel I need a bit of quiet, you can actually in the middle of the festival find a little spot where no one disturbs you. So all these kind of things we've been working on,
yeah,
and still working on, because it's developing all the time. How do we make people feel good? Like, I enjoy very much that we don't enfence the festival. Because if you enfence an area, people will feel enfenced. For me or for us, it's very logical thinking that if you put people in a square and say, you have to have fun here, it's so limited. And then I think it does something to people that it's in our private garden.
So, we open up for everybody.
So we open up to share our space and our beautiful space.
Mm.
And at the same time, people who have been coming here several times very quickly find out, okay, here you don't throw any litter. You're not too drunk in daytime or, you know. So
you're all not too drunk at all want to dance and sing and play.
But the fact that in daytime there's no drunk people, it's not based on we have to sell a lot to make it go around. It is so this atmosphere of making people feel, okay, I can be myself. If we don't throw litter, if we help each other, and people are very helpful here. There's a lot of trust.
And we also have to say that we do a lot for getting money from funds, and they are very kind to us. We get funds so we can make the festival, and not thinking of now we have to have sold more beers or we have to have a higher entrance so people who has not so much money can not come. We want it to be so everybody can come. It's very important for us.
Like all the musicians get the same fee when they perform. And like we have no headliners. There's no VIP area for people here. There's only,
we are all VIPs.
There's only one party, and it's the same party for everybody. Also the people who have to work.
All festivals should think of how many children and families who need a special space because they have children who maybe they have autism or some things which makes it more difficult for them to be with many people. And here we have children who has a small tent of their own with them, and they can put it up in a little corner so they can go and read a little in their book or listen to their phone or whatever they need to do in between, that they can be out playing with the others. And it is obvious that some of those children, they find each other out in the festival, and then they sit together and have a cozy time. And we have really had this experience that some young people who have those special resources, they begin to dance now. So I think it's so fantastic that it, because everybody are helpful and it's a good atmosphere, and then people can join in.
But you said it from the right beginning, before we even did the first festival. It needs to be good to be a kid in our festival.
Mm.
If you're a family with kids, small kids, it's tough to be on a festival because there's not much to do for kids. But as soon as there's, you know, the area to play and just a bit of supportance, And then it's not a very huge space, so the kids can feel safe and the parents can feel safe as well. And when you get the kids there, then you have suddenly have all generations, because otherwise it's mainly young people and old people going out, because the families need it to be okay, not a tough job to be on festival, but actually enjoyable. And here the families can enjoy, and that's because you said it's got to be good to be kid. It balances the party, because when young people party themselves, they really party. And when old people party themselves, I mean, it's not getting so late any longer when it's only the old people. But when we all together, then
it makes just a make new a kind of festival culture. Yeah. And also that at all this being active, you play, you sing, you of course talk a lot too and dance a lot. That means that they don't drink. We don't drink very much at our festival, and of course we don't get very much earning in the bar because of that. But I think it's so important that it's not alcohol which pay music. It has to be that people can be active and enjoy together and have conversation in this good atmosphere.
That's the thing I enjoy very much on the festival, that suddenly you sit and you look over the lawn and everybody's in for concert, and then there's suddenly, you know, two or three grown-up people who are making funny acrobatics or playing ball or whatever. But you see people who haven't played for years starting to play.
Oh, yeah.
Just for fun. Like this year, it was some middle of night, I had to get someone down for the trees. Two young people that started climbing trees. Oh, we just felt, I said, are you the acrobats who have to work from the trees tomorrow? No. We just felt like kids again. I said, okay, take care, you know. And that kind of thing I enjoy very much, because it shows that it moves something in the individual who participates. And I also think that's why some other people who do festivals from other countries as well come here to look, okay, how can it be? Here there's no, many festivals have said, oh, where's all the young people? Here's a lot of young people here now. That comes from all this good thinking from the right beginning.
Yeah, I think so too.
And hard working, you're doing a really
Yeah, it's all year round. I had to work on it. But it's very good. I like it. Also gives me energy that we have volunteers from the United States and from South Europe and many places. And we have those courses, workshops we make for young people before the festival starts. They have come from Berlin, from Antwerpen, from New Zealand, and they hear about it from other musicians and young people who are out in the world being better playing or learning something from their culture. And then they come because they hear it's exciting to be here. Yeah. And I just love that we can share with all the world.
Der står syv egeligt uden for byen, og de syv egeligt gemmer på svar. De har set det meste, langt mere end de fleste. For set før vi alle til slut skal herfra. De stod her, da Grundtvig blev født ud i Udby. De stod her, da Kirkegård kiggede forbi. Før Kai Munk, han blev martyr, og studenten gjorde oprør. De stod her, da Carl Nielsen skrev sin sidste melodi.
So my name is Regan Odur Nyachenga. I am the founder and director of Mtafsiri Africa, which is in, it started in Kenya, and now it's growing. We have members from Denmark, Sweden, and Kenya. And we organize Ethno Kenya, which is one of the deep-rooted musics that provides a space for young and old people to meet. What I would really, really want our societies is to be more connected to their roots, their culture. And also music is just a universal language for interaction and for learning, and provides space for understanding each other's culture. since 2019, I have been attending Music Pasty 4 as a professional musician, then a volunteer, and for the past 2 years, that is 2024 and 2025 this year, we have actually been able to do a concert for children with our duol, which is called Kede Duol, and the focus is about Kenyan and African music blending in with the Scandinavian. And I feel very lucky to provide a space where we actually connect with Scandinavian music and put it together and share it to families through our concert, which has both music, it has a theater, storytelling, and interactive workshop for rhythm and drums. So this is a very special space to be, and I give thanks to the entire group that always work here to make Music Pasty 4 to be a good environment for learning, for interaction, for connection, and also for humanity. The image that comes in my mind about the dancing tree is a connection of peace and harmony, and people meeting and sharing their traditions and music, and also learning. That is what comes into my mind. Yeah, and I think also traditionally, since I'm from Kenya in Africa, a tree is something that provides good, clean air, that when many people are dancing together, it's good for themselves and also for the environment. So it's a connection based on my thoughts and understanding. The experience of playing in that dance tree stage highlights the importance of communal sharing and learning, and the perspective of transition of older people sharing and inspiring the young people to learn the folk tunes and folk dances, and jointly connecting together through dance and music. In my home country in Kenya, there's a lot of different types of trees. We have one type of tree which is called Mogumo tree. It is a tree with its tradition, which has medicinal, and but it's also used for connecting humanity from present to the past and from the past to the present. So we have different types of trees with different kind of traditional meaning and how they are used. We have trees which actually have very good percussive rhythms, which we use them for making instruments. So I think a lot about my country and connect, since I'm living in Scandinavia, there is quite a similarity and differences within the continents. Since 2005, I have been planting a lot of trees, both fruit trees, environmental trees that provide shade, and also trees that are actually helping with better medicinal kind of value. And we have like Moringa tree that I have planted back in Kenya in our farm, which blends in with a lot of curative, purifies blood, but also it's like antioxidant, which helps a lot with the body and also immune system, and also just boosting your immune. We also have different lemon and mango trees, and also we have papaya, which is like purple trees. We also have guavas. So all those, I've tried to plant them since 2005, and we were very lucky since the month of July 19th, we were hosting the first Ethno Kenya in Kenya in our farm. So I feel that there is quite a lot of connection and good ambience when it comes to trees, because it's not only tree. It can provide firewood, it can provide medicine, it can provide just a good ambience for people to pitch their tent and people to sleep and feel nice living in a clean and good environment. Yeah. The stores you hear it all for me, but this you hear it came up as far. You see the least, langt mere end de fleste, for set før vi alle til slut skal herfra.
Sometimes I also just seen 2 o'clock at night, one musician just sitting there all alone, just playing, you know. And nobody is there for listening, but you could sit in the distance. See, okay, there's somebody sitting there playing, just because it's this little closed but open magic space.
And we sit there often. We can look down to Præstø Fjord and look over the little wood down there and the fields, and we have one of the highest points in Zealand, just on north side of this place. So
good view.
It's so good views. It's nature, and you're out there.
And I've sometimes said I want to be buried under there.
Yeah.
Because then people can dance on my grave.
Yes, that's what we have been talking about too.
All around it. So now I looking forward to getting really old and sit under the roof of the tree and look at all the people dancing.
Yeah.
If I'm not dancing that time.
Of course, we hope that there will be somebody who takes over when we cannot make this festival anymore. We have started ourselves to talk with some of the young people, and I think it will be. I believe that the festival will continue, and I also believe that the tree will be there until it's many hundred years old. They will have to build a new platform in 30 years, like we just did this year.
We rebuilded it, yeah.
Yeah. So people need places to connect to. And this is a place. And this is also a place that our neighbors and our little town, Tapanoi, is very happy about is here. There was a woman who wrote a book about Tapanoi some years ago, and she made a whole chapter about this festival. Mm. So I guess it will continue until we don't know.
And you can never guess for future generations what they're up to. But I think the feeling of having places where you can gather and be together and in peace is eternal. It's always been there, and it will, I think, always be there, the need of places where we can be together and hopefully also dance.
One of our neighbors went up to the local archive to find out if there was something written about this area and dancing trees and so on. And he found out that in Snesere, which is a small town 6 kilometers from here, there is mentioned a dancing tree, and it is mentioned that it was functioning until 1912. So we feel that we just, you know, it's very funny because in 2012 we started up with this tree. So we feel that we just take and bring the tradition into circulation again. So it has been here around for years and years and years back.
What I like is bringing it up again is the connection with trees. I've always been fascinated of the pagan times where trees were the center of life. And still today, also now we're standing in climate crisis and things, so many people coming closer and closer to the solution is trees. That's the best way to cool down the globe again. That's the best way to control the water and so on. So the trees is just so central in life. It's nice to bring that up, because for me it's always been fascinated that a lot of our traditions, also Christmas traditions and stuff, have this link back to pagan time. Even though that we're living in a Christian culture, it's blended. Because nothing comes out of the blue air. I mean, everything is rooted in some kind of tradition or some kind of community or history. But our knowledge about it is, from time to time, very different.
Yeah, it is. It's really, you know, in old, old times, they had this feeling that the tree was sacred. And then this feeling disappeared for centuries. And what has happened with the globe in that period? And now I begin to see that people begin to understand more about this importance of trees. But we are still far away from really understand the importance. But we must try. And I think this making dancing trees, for instance, also means something.
The festival Music Over Præstø Fjord takes place every year the second week of August. For more info about the festival, you're welcome to visit the webpage mopf.dk. This podcast is produced by me, Liv Vester Larsen, for Mediehaven, and supported by Øernes Kunstfond, Arts Council Ireland. Thanks for that.
You are listening to Radio Folk on radiofolk.dk. My name is Jamie Fox, and I'm a fiddler from Montana, USA. Don't forget to tell your friends that you can listen to roots and folk music 24 hours a day on www.radiofolk.dk.